Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to Shmir Salashim class learning. We are learning the Zeich Nishmasim and the Ilui Nishmasim, Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yoel V'chana, Alav Hashem, may his neshama have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah and the Avoda through this chabura that we share. Schus aliyah neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, Alav Hashalom. And with your permission, schos for Rafua for Bracha Avigail, Bas Rachel Geta Basoch Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael. So we will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. It's like I told you, the WhatsApp ID photo of the Shmir Salashim class. If you want to follow along, that's where you can find it. Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Mefanecha, Rachem V'Chanan, Shetizakeni Hayom V'Chol Yom Lishmar Pi U'Lashoni Milashon Hara V'Chilas. Ve'ezar Miladaber Miladaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid. V'Kol Shekein Al Klal Yisrael O Al Chelek Mehem. V'Kol Shekein Lisraim Al Midosav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ve'ezar Miladaber Divrei Sheker Chanufa Mecholkes Ka'as Gaira. Ona Asdvarim Habanas Panim Leitzanes V'Chol Dibur Aser. V'Zakini Shelo Ledaber Kim Davar Hatzari Chilinani Gufi V'Nafshi. V'Yu Kol Ma'asai V'Diburai L'Shem Shamayim. Amen V'Amen. So we have a nice class prepared for today. It's interesting because the amud that we're on in Gemara is Maseches Arachin Tes Zayin Aleph. That's where we're currently holding. Last time we spoke about Onas Dvarim vis-a-vis one's wife / spouse based on a piece in the Gemara. So I consider today's shiur tremendous hashgacha because it is based on the Gemara Maseches Arachin Tes Zayin Aleph, which is exactly where we are holding, but a little later down on the Amud, and it relates very much to last week's parasha. And we're going to be learning Sefer Chavetz Chaim, but not Sefer Chavetz Chaim Kuntros Chavetz Hashmira. I scanned, and we're going to be screen sharing Sefer Chavetz Chaim of the Torah. Okay, so of course this is going to be a Shmir Salashim class. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. One second, sorry. I prepared on the screen, I just forgot to take my chumash here, okay? So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. One moment, please. Okay. Actually, let me put you up here. So can you see that we are in, well, you won't see from there, Shemos, chapter 28, Parachav Chesin Shemos. Yes? Okay, thank you very much. So in last week's parasha, we had the big day kuhuna. Okay. I know in the past we've spoken about the Me'il, but we're doing a piece from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim that we never did before. And I actually only came across it last week, actually, and of course, when I came across it, I saved it for this morning's shiur. Okay, so we're talking about the big day kohuna. The Kohen Gadol had to wear 8 different garments. One of the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, this is last week's parasha, Parashas Tetzaveh. It's also in Parashas Tzav, second parasha of Vayikra. The big day kohuna are detailed, and it's an integral part of the Avodas HaMishkan. Kohen who comes to serve when he is not wearing the big day kohuna is Chayv Misa B'Yedei Shemayim. Rashi tells us that 2 places in last week's parasha. So it's not just like nice garments. You must. The Kohen had to be wearing these begadim when he did the service. Of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, one of the 8 garments was called the Me'il. The Me'il was a full turquoise robe that went over the white linen checkered ktones that every Kohen wore underneath. So Kohen Gadol had like 2 tunics, if you will. The under tunic, which was checkered linen that the Kohen Hedjot also wore, and then the over one, which was the blue, totally blue turquoise wool tunic. It went from his neck down to his ankles to his sleeves. It was like a tube, like a whole cloak. So the pasuk says we're in Shemos Perachav Ches, pasuk Lamed Aleph, like you said, you could see right here on my screen. V'asisa es me'il ha'efod k'lil techeles. You should make the me'il of the ephod. The reason it's called that is because the apron is tied around it. You should make this me'il entirely turquoise well. And even look at the imagery before we even get to the piece of the Chavetz Chaim. I want to pay attention to the words, the way the Torah describes the Me'il. V'haya pi rosho b'socho. So if you didn't know what you were talking about, you would translate as that it will be the mouth of the head will be inside of it. That's what the pasuk literally means. V'haya pi rosho, the mouth of his head, b'socho, will be inside of him. Now this is talking about a cloak. Safa, his lips, Yelafiv, he will his lip for his mouth, saviv, all around, maase oreg, work of a weaver, kifi tachgra, it shall have an opening yellow to it, lo yikra, it shall not tear. Rashi says it was like the opening of a suit of armor. So this is describing the opening of the me'il, by the neck of the me'il. So it says that the pirosho besocho, let me tell you what art school actually translate that. The opening of the head shall be folded over within it. That's with Rashi's interpretation. Saviv, it should be a work of a weaver, like the suit of armor, and it shall not be torn. Vasisa al shulav, and you shall make on its hem, rimone techeles, v'argaman v'sola shani al shulav saviv. You should make little woven, not real fruit, little woven pomegranates of techeles, blue wool, argaman, turquoise, purple wool. So la ashani scarlet, well, on its hem all around, upamune zahav bisocham saviv, and it'll be a woven pomegranate, and then it'll be a little golden bell, pa'amon zahav rimon, pa'amon zahav rimon. So you have a golden bell and a pomegranate, golden bell and a pomegranate, al shulei ha-me'il saviv, on the hem of the me'il all around, v'hai al aron l'sharis, it will be upon Aaron when he serves, v'nishma kolo, once again you have an allusion to speech here, clearly, and its voice will be heard. So we're talking about the piv, the safav, the rosh, the voice will be heard, v'vo al ha-kodesh, when he comes to the holy, l'fnei Hashem, uvitseiso, and when he leaves, v'lo yamas, and he shall not die. And I mentioned that Rashi tells you that a kohen who serves chaser begadim is chayiv misa, and it's Rashi right here, v'lo yamus, and Rashi says, im yihu lo, lo is chayiv misa, if he's wearing the begadim, he is not subject to misa. Ha, you learn, im yikanis mechusar achad min habegadim halalo, you learn that if he comes to serve, missing even one of his garments, chayiv misa b'yidei shamayim, he's chayiv misa b'yidei shamayim. I also found that it was very interesting when I was learning the Chumash with Rashi this past Shabbos, something I never noticed before. Rashi davka tells us by the me'il, which clearly, as you've seen from the pshat, without even going any further, has many allusions to speech. Rashi chooses the me'il to teach you, if you're missing one of the begadim, you're chayiv misa b'yidei shamayim. Now Rashi could tell you that by any of the begadim. Why does Rashi wait till the me'il? Doesn't tell you by the tzitz, doesn't tell you by the mikba'as, by the ksones, by the mechnasayim. It's specifically Rashi waits till you get to the me'il to tell you, oh, you know, if you're missing one of the begadim, you're chayiv misa. So we know from Mishlei Perek Yud Ches Pasuch of Aleph, Mavas v'chayim biyad haloshon v'ovel ochel pirya. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. So perhaps here's another allusion to the power of speech. Rashi waits till the me'il. The me'il clearly, even though we haven't even gone to the Gemara, Maseches Erechin yet, which is where we're holding, we are on Erechin, this exact Amud, Tazayin Aleph, is exactly where we are. We already see allusions to speech. And Rashi comes and tells you, if you're missing begadim, you're chayiv misa. But when does he tell you that? Specifically by the me'il, because the me'il should remind you that maves v'chayim biyad halashon, death and life are in the hands of the tongue. And now we will go to Maseches Erechin right here. Right, so this is Maseches Erechin Tazayin Amud Aleph, which is mamish exactly where we are up to. So it's just a little further down on the Amud. Okay? Okay, here we go. Vaha amar Rabbi Ani Basason. Lama nismecha parshas big day kuhuna parshas korbanos. Why, asks the Gemara, Rabbi Anani Bar Sason asks, why is the narrative of the big day kuhuna, the priestly vestments, put next? Oh wait, could you switch, see that I switched to the Gemara, that I'm in Maseches Erechin now? Yeah, okay. Why is it put next to korbanos? So that's not in these parshios. This is a reference to in Sefer Vayikra. So you have Sefer Vayikra opens up with all the korbanos, and in the middle of learning about the korbanos and the korbanos that Aaron brought and Moshe brought as part of the Miluim service in Parshas Tzav, we are told once again about the big day kuhuna. So the Gemara says, why is the big day kuhuna, the priestly vestments, put next to the narrative about korbanos? Lomar lacha, to teach you, ma korbanos mechaprin, af big day kuhuna mechaprin, to tell you that just like korbanos bring kapara, so too the big day kuhuna bring kapara. And now the Gemara tells you, atonement, okay? Just like a korban brings atonement for a sinner, for the nation, for a travesty, so too the big day kohuna bring kapara that the Kohen Gadol wears. And now the Gemara tells you each begad, each item, what it brings kapara for. So the ksonas mechaperes al shfichus damim, interesting, from a pasuk by Yosef, the white linen tunic that every Kohen wore atones for the sin of spilling blood, like the pasuk says by the brothers, vayitbu asa ksonas bedam. They dipped Yosef's tunic in blood. So the tunic, the white linen tunic, atones for bloodshed. Mechnesayim, the breeches that the Kohen, every Kohen wore breeches. They were really like undergarments, literally. Mechnesayim mechapin on gilu arbayus, since the mechnesayim cover up the place of nakedness. So the Gemara says that they atone for the sin of gilu arbayus, literally means uncovering nakedness, which is sexual immorality. Okay. Next, mitznefes mechaperes agase ruch, the hat atones for haughtiness. Why? Because yavo davar shebegavah v'yekaper amaseh gvoah. It was a high turban. It wasn't a flat baseball cap. It wasn't a tichol. It wasn't a beret. It was a high tie turban that the Kohanim wore. Because it was high, represents haughtiness. That's something high. Atone for something high. Okay. Avnit, the avnit mechaperes al hir hurlev, the sash that was tied under the elbows, opposite the heart. Every Kohen wore a sash, every Kohen wore mechnesayim, every Kohen wore a turban, and every Kohen wore the ksones. So the sash atones for improper thoughts of improper heretical thoughts of the heart. Since the sash was tied around the waist, right under the heart, it atones for improper thoughts of the heart. Choshen, choshen mechaper al dinin, since the pasuk calls it choshen mishpat, a choshen of justice. So choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, unique to the Kohen Gadol, atones for travesty and justice. Ephod, what about the apron that the Kohen Gadol wore? Mechaper al vodazara, atones for vodazara. Oh, here we go. Me'il mechaper al lashin hara. Mamish, we are in. Do you understand? We're in Maseches Arachin Tazayin Aleph. And I came across this piece by the Chafetz Chaim Sefer. I must thank my son Shmuel Zanvel, Kanainahar, who allows me to utilize whichever form of his I need and want to learn from. And it was last week. I was not preparing for this year. It was even maybe the week before last week, actually. And I picked up the Sefer, and I mamish could not believe it. Just like last time, we were learning about Anas Dvarim vis-a-vis one's wife. And then I went to Florida for a few days, and I took the 10 really dumb mistakes very smart couples make. And mamish, he's talking about that piece of Gemara and Anas Dvarim vis-a-vis of your wife. So now I pick up a Sefer Chavos Chaim. We are in Maseches Erechin Tazayin Amud Aleph. Of all the blat that we could be, and could you imagine that's where we are? And I pick up the Sefer, and it's this past week's Parsha, and the Chavos Chaim, like you're going to see, is going to begin, and we're learning the Sefer Chavos Chaim, is going to begin by quoting this Gemara that we are learning. So the Me'il, now that we saw the Pesukim inside, so the Gemara says, Beferish Me'il Mechaper Lashon Hara. Now, the way I read the Pesukim to you, it should be very obvious. It talks about the lips, it talks about the mouth, it talks about the head, it talks about the voice. This is all talking about a cloak. It doesn't sound like a cloak. It sounds like a person. Me'il mechaper lashon hara. So the me'il, this blue cloak that was unique to the Kohen Gadol, is mechaper al lashon hara. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yavo davar shebekol, v'yechaper amaiseh kol. That's something that emits voice. Remember, it has woven pomegranate, so those don't make any noise, with a golden bell that had a clapper. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let something that emits voice, meaning from the bells, they jingled when he walked, come and be mechaper, tone for ma'aseh kol. And just to finish, because we started, the tzitz was a golden head plate that the Kohen Gadol wore. Tzitz mechaper al ma'aseh al zeparim. Tzitz, the golden head plate, it's a kodesh la'ashem, atone for the sin of a brazenness. Obviously, for the purposes of our shir, what's important is that the Gemara says here in Erechin 16a that the me'il is mechaper for the sin of lashon hara, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let something that emits sound come and atone for a thing that makes sound. So I just want to show you the me'il. Oh, 1 second. So this was the me'il, just so you see what it looked like. I mean, you should also have to use your imagination, okay? It was a long blue tunic that went from his neck. Then they sewed the sleeves separately and attached them to the body of the me'il. And it went down to his ankles. The big gadim of the coin had to fit him. They had to be made for him and his size. Where's the me'il? And also on the bottom, it had the golden bells, which made noise, and the pomegranates, which were woven and obviously did not make any noise. Okay, so here you go. Here it is. That's it. It's a plain blue tunic. Okay? Turquoise veil. Now, the Gemara does not talk about it in that piece that we just saw, the significance of the fact that it's kulo tchelas. But the Chavetz Chaim is going to explain the significance. This shows you that there was a bell along the hem, and the bell actually made noise. It had a clapper, and a woven little, looks like an egg or a pomegranate. It was made of different kinds of wool, and obviously it wasn't a fruit hanging from the hem. And this just shows you that the hem had the bells and the pomegranates alternating on the cloak of the Mi'il. Okay. Oh, it's a very heavy book. Sorry. It's falling all over the place. Not really falling, don't worry. Okay. It's not really a book. It's a sefer. It has all the psukim with all the rashis from Truman to Tzav. It's not a book. Okay. So we saw the psukim, and then we saw the Gemara, and then I showed you the Mi'il. So now let's go to the sefer of the Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah. I'm going to screen share. It's right here for you. Okay, could you see Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah? Okay, I even gave you the cover page in my PDF scan, so you could see where we are learning from. Sefer Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah. Okay, my thank you to Shmuel Zamba. Okay, here we go. So you see it says Tetzaveh, Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah, precious Tetzaveh. Here we go. The Ela Habigadim Asher Yasu Choshen Ve'efodim Mi'il. So he begins by quoting an earlier pasuk from Parshas Tetzaveh, when God tells Moshe, "You should take Aaron Va'ata Kuvelecha Aaron Achicha Bas Banov Itola Kahano Li. Should bring close Aaron and his sons along with him to be Kohanim for Li. Vasisulahem Bigde Vasisul Aaron Achicha Bigde Kodesh the Kavod LeTifaris. That's 28:3. You should make garments of holiness for Aaron your brother." Excuse me, for honor and for glory. Now, what garments should you make? So 28:4, Chav Chestal, which is what the Chofetz Chaim quotes, is El HaBigadim Asher Yasu. These are the clothing that you should make. You should make a choshen, the breastplate with the stones, the ephod, the apron, the mi'il. Today, we're talking about the mi'il. And what's mamash, the first thing the Chofetz Chaim quotes in this piece, Uba Meseches Erechin, Daf Tes Zayin Aleph, which is mamash where we're holding, Mefaresh. And the Gemara in Erechin 16a, that is explained as follows. The second line here, the Me'il atones for the sin of slanderous speech, bad speech literally. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yavo davar shebekol, v'yechaper amaseh hakol. Let something that emits voice or sound come and bring atonement for a deed of sound. Okay, v'lachein k'siv, and therefore it says, v'asisa es me'il ha'efut k'lil t'cheles. You saw the psukim already in Peruch Chav Ches, this is where we began, Shiar, that the me'il should be made purely out of turquoise wool. Now the Gemara that we saw does not address why, but the Chofetz Chaim brings a very beautiful reason as to why the me'il has to be made kulo t'cheles. Many of the garments of the Kohanim were interwoven with different fabrics. They had strands of turquoise wool, scarlet wool, purple wool. They even hammered the gold into thin sheets, Rashi explains. They cut the thin sheets so they had strands of gold interwoven into the begadim. The begadim of the Kohen, specifically the Kohen Gadol, were extremely beautiful and very regal. But when it came to this me'il, which is like we see mechaper for voice, so it has to be kulo t'cheles. Why? So now, the Chofetz Chaim quotes a very famous Mamar Chazal that usually we talk about by Tzitzis, which is at the end of Parsha Shlach, right at the end of Parsha Shlach, Perek Tes Vav, the Torah tells us about Tzitzis, and if Vahaya Tchil Psil Techeles al Kanaf. There should be a Psil Techeles on the corner of the baguette with the white strings. You should have Techeles. So usually this Ma'amar Chazal is quoted in regard to Tzitzis. But here the Chofetz Chaim applies it in regard to the baguette of the Mi'il. So why Techeles? Shah Techeles Dorme Liyam. Because Chazal tells us that turquoise resembles the sea, S-E-A. The sea resembles the firmament, and the firmament resembles the heavenly throne of glory. So when you see the tcheles of the meal, you should think, wow, the tcheles is turquoise. You know what else is turquoise? The sea. And when you see the sea, when you see S-E-E, the sea, S-E-A, you should think, wow, you know what else is turquoise? The heavens. And when you see the heavens, you should think, wow, I'm looking up to the heavens. You know what's in the heavens? The Kisei HaKavod. You know who sits upon the Kisei HaKavod, Kaviyachal, the Ribono Shel Olam, who hears every word that I say. So in seeing the blue color of the Me'il, you're going to come to remember in stages the tcheles of the Me'il, the sea, the water that's blue that reflects the sky reminds me of God. And through this, you're going to remember, you're going to remember, oh gosh, you know what? After 120 years old, I'm going to have to give an accounting before that Kisei HaKavod for every single word I said. And in Tana Devei Eliyahu, we learn, Shehalashon Hara Ola Ad Keneged Kisei HaKavod. Chazal teach us, as the Chavetz Chaim, that Lashon Hara goes up to the highest heights, not in a positive way. The slanderous, negative speech, abusive speech, Onas Dvarim speech, Gaiva speech, Lashon Hara speech, Rechila speech, goes up to the highest heights of the Kisya Kavod. And that's what seeing the blue techelas of the Kohen Gadol's Beged of the Me'il should remind you of. Shenemar, and we learned this pasuk, I don't remember exactly when, but the Gemara also quoted it, it's probably a few months ago, we only meet every other week. Shasu b'shamayim pihem u'lushonim tahalech b'arts. They strut their tongues up to the heavens, their mouths up to the heavens, and their tongues walk on the ground. So it's teaching you that you think your tongue is only walking on the ground, but you should know, shasu b'shamayim pihem, whatever comes out of your mouth is reaching up to the very heavens. You think only lushonim tahalech b'arts. No, my tongue is only going on the ground. No, it's going all the way up to the heavens. And because of this, that he is wearing turquoise veil, Yizkar, you should remember, the Yisponein, he will contemplate, Aydvarav Olin, Olim v'yishmar mizah. Person should see this and contemplate, you know what? Whoa, my words are going all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, because the Tcheles makes you think of the Kisei HaKavod in stages. Tcheles domiliyam. The Me'il color, therefore, resembles a sea. The sea resembles the heaven. The heaven resembles the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod reminds me that my words are going all the way up to the heavenly throne of glory. V'yishmar mizeh. And therefore, you will be very careful about this regard, not to speak Lashon Hara when you see the Tcheles of the Me'il. So that's the first thing that the Chafetz Chaim says in regard to the color. First, he addresses the color of the Me'il. Now, the other thing you saw when it comes to the Tcheles, no, when it comes to the Me'il, we started in the Pesukim. So the Pasuk says, V'haya pi rosho besocho. Remember, that's Perachav Chas, Pasuk Lamed Beis. I don't know how to do two screenshots at once, so I'm not putting the Pesukim on the screen, but in Shmos, Chav Chas Lamed Beis, we started here. The Pasuk says, V'haya pi rosho besocho. And I told you, if you didn't know you were talking about the Me'il, right? You show this Pasuk to someone, they have no idea what you're talking about. It sounds like you're talking about someone's head. V'haya bi pi rosho, the mouth of his head, besocho, should be inside. So it's an interesting way to describe the Me'il. It's telling you that the line of the neck, the hem, the sewing of the hem, should be folded over inside. So now the Chafetz Chaim says, V'haya pi rosho besocho, which is referring to the Me'il's neckline. However, remez, l'masha amu chazal b'maseches chulin pei tes alf. It's a remez to a chazal say, maseches chulin pei tes alf. Al pasuk, Tola Eretz Al Blima. So there's a pasuk in Tehillim that tells you that the world is upheld on nothingness. God suspends earth on nothing. Tola Eretz Al Blima. When you think about the fact that planet Earth is really suspended by nothing, it's just going in the universe. How come it just doesn't fly out of orbit? How come it doesn't drop down to infinity? How come it stays exactly where it's supposed to stay? Now, I know there's scientific reasons for this, and there's laws of gravity and the pull of the magnetic pull of the moon and the sun, and I don't know how the whole solar system works. But Lamaisa Hashem makes this whole solar system work so that Tola Eretz Al Blima, the world is suspended on nothingness. But the Gemara says, oh, we have a different way to darshan this pasuk. Tola Eretz Al Blima doesn't only mean God suspends the world on nothingness, it also means Tola Eretz, God suspends the world, al mi ha'olam kayim, upon who does the world stand, or upon whom is the world upheld, al mi shebolem piv bishas meriva. This is a quote from that Gemara. He who closes his mouth at the time of quarrel, the world is upheld on that person. V'hainus sheyichbosh az, es kol diburo shelo yetzei lachus. Shalo yetzei lachus. V'haya pi rosho besocho sounds a lot like literally what it's supposed to sound like, says the Chafetz Chaim. If the Me'il is mechaper alashon hara, the Torah describes it in a lashon that tells us about speech. If the world is upheld, we know from Maseches Chulin, by one who closes his mouth, who holds his mouth, who keeps back his words at the time of a quarrel, hainu sheyichbosh az es kol diburosh shalo yetzei lachus. That's what means pi rosho besocho. His mouth of his head should be inside. That's right, says the Chafetz Chaim. Keep the words inside. Keep your lips. I can't talk and illustrate it. Keep your lips closed so that the words do not escape. Safa yiyah. Furthermore, the pasuk then continues. Safa yiyah. Lips, it will be. Lafiv for its mouth. Am I talking about a me'il or a person's face? Safa yiyah lafiv saviv. He should have a safa, which translates literally as lips should be for his mouth all around. So the Chafetz Chaim says, Safa yiyah lafiv saviv ma'ase oreg. What does that word? What does that part of the pasuk mean? Work of a weaver. He should have a mouth. He should have lips for his mouth all around, the work of a weaver. So the Chafetz Chaim says, "Hainu yatzer b'nafsho shahasvasayim ta'argena mibachutz ma'ase oreg kidei shelo yuchal lipitcham." You should fashion for yourself in your soul that your lips should be woven from the outside, like the work of a weaver, so that you cannot open your lips. That's what you should think to yourself. You know, isn't there an English expression, zip it up or something, or did I make that up? Is there an English expression like that? There is. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying you should impact, you should contemplate, you should think in your soul that your lips should be woven from the outside, like the work of a weaver, not literally. You need to eat, you need to make brachos, you need to breathe. Sometimes it involves your lips, but proverbially, you should have woven lips, so to speak. You should not be able to open your lips. Kafi tachra. So Rashi says, kafi tachra. Rashi says, we learn from here that the armor had their neck openings folded to the inside. That's what Rashi says. You learn from the Mi'il that armor that the soldiers used to wear, that cavalry and infantry used to wear, was folded to the inside. So the Chafetz Chaim expounds every aspect of the Mi'il as relating to a different part of Lashon Hara and a different message. So what does the Pasuk mean? Kifi tachra yihi elo. It shall be made like the opening of a suit of armor. Lo yikarej, cannot be torn. So now the Chafetz Chaim says, kifi tachra yihi elo, lo yikarej. What does this mean? Upei Rish Rashi. Now he quotes Rashi, which I just told you. Lamanu shahas shir yonim, like sar. Shironim is from the word sar, like a dignitary, an important person, officer. Shahayu shironim shalahan piem kaful kadei lo shalo yikarek. They had like a double hem along the neckline. Piem kaful. The opening was double. Oh, reinforced. The opening was reinforced, so it should not tear. V'leramet l'ramos lanu, to allude to us. K'mal shahashir yon shahadam lo veish hu lo limagain ulimechasa shalo yuzak minachisim shazarkim alav. This comes to teach you that just like the protective garment that a person wears is protection and a cover, that he should not be harmed by the arrows that are thrown at him. Why does a soldier need to wear special garments when he goes out to battle? Why can't he just wear what we're wearing today? Because he wore the sweater and an arrow was shot at him on the battlefield, the guy's going to be in pretty big trouble. So therefore, what does he do? He needs to reinforce the armor. It needs to be folded in on the inside, and this protects him. Just like that protective garment that a person wears, l'magenu l'mechasa, to protect and cover, shelo yuzak minachitzim. So much of our learning has to do with the arrows of Lashon Hara, so that he should not be damaged from the arrows that are thrown upon him on the battlefield. Cain, so to misha bolem piv, one who knows how to close his mouth, hu lo l'magen. That closing of the mouth will be to him a protection, bifnei hamariv imo, from those who come to quarrel with him. One who knows how to hold back his tongue, from those who come to instigate and fight with him, that will be a protection. Shasof davar yesha yishto kamariv. Because the end of the matter is, if you don't answer back, if you close your mouth like the work of a weaver, and you put into your neshama that you're not going to speak back. So first he's talking about the sin of Lashon Hara, and we saw in the Gemara Maseches Erechin. Now he's talking about a different aspect of Shmiras HaLashon, and that's Machlokas, like we say in the Tefillah of the Chafetz Chaim, Azar Medaber Devei Sheker Chanufa Machlokas. So now he's addressing this idea of Machlokas. People come to fight with you. If you are Bolem Piv, you make yourself like a mute, you close your mouth, just like the protective armor protects the soldier on the battlefield from arrows that could kill him, speech could kill. So too, it will protect you against those who come to quarrel with you. Shasof devar yeh, shayishto kamariv. If you're not arguing back, they can't argue back. The end of the matter will be, the quarrel will die down. There's not going to be any, it's going to quiet down because there's no one to fight with. Kevan she'eino ono, so dvar. If you're not answering, they can't keep fighting. You're not saying a word. You're not getting involved. You don't want to have anything to do with mechokas. Ma she'eim kein im ono lo. Titlakach hameriva v'yavo lidei mehalumot. Not so if you answer back. If you answer back, the meriva will only grow and grow, and it will come. Oh, lidei levo mil mahalomot, and it will, I'm not exactly sure what that word means, mahalomot, but clearly the intention is very clear. If you keep talking, Now what's going to happen is the meriva is going to become more and more inflamed and it will grow. Whereas if you keep your mouth shut, no pun intended, literally, as if it's the work of a weaver, it will protect you against the arrows of meriva. Kakasuv, like the pasuk says, this is from Mishpatim, I believe. V'chi yirivun anashu v'hi ka'ish asra'ehu. The pasuk tells you that when two men quarrel, ultimately one will end up hitting his fellow. So if you think if there's going to be a meriva, no one will be damaged, you're totally wrong. If there's a meriva, what's going to happen is one man is going to end up hitting his friend. So if you can be quiet, it's the biggest chus for Tola Eretz Ablima. At that moment of silence, the whole world is being upheld through you. And just like the armor protects the soldier from being shot with arrows, so too your silence protects you from meriva and conflagration of the meriva. What about the rimonim and pamonim? So the Chafetz Chaim addresses the color, the techeilas. Then he addresses the woven nature on the hem, on the neckline, I should say, of the garment. What about the rimonim and pa'amonim, and the pomegranates and the bells that alternated on the hem? Rimoniva pa'amonim. Romzim lamash amuchazal mesechas chulin peitas. Aleph. It's an allusion to a chazal say mesechas chulin. Ma umna socha adam po'olam haze yasim atzmo kilim. What is the craft of a person in this world? He should make himself like a mute. The less we talk, the better we are. The less you have to say, the less trouble we get into. The Gemara says your craft in this world is to make yourself ki'ilim. You should make yourself like a mute person. So now a person might say, yachal afu divrei Torah kain. So does that mean I can't say dvar Torah? Does it mean I can't say brachos? Does it mean I can't sing zmiros? Does it mean that I can't lay in kriyas Torah? Should I always make myself like a mute? Yachal afu divrei Torah kain. Is it possible that also means for divrei Torah you should make yourself a mute? Talmud lomer tzedek tidabru. No, the pasuk says, with righteousness you shall speak. Nim Telefiza, we find therefore according to this, Shabachal Esh Yeshul Adam Panai Lo Yeshev Batal Ela Yelmo Torah. Sometimes we have so much free time. Sometimes we have no free time. Sometimes we don't realize all those extra minutes of waiting for this and waiting for that. And we just sit batal. And what would the Chafetz Chaim say today about the ability to be bittul zman with our devices? It's always possible to have bittul zman, unfortunately. We don't even realize that you should never sit doing nothing. What should you do? Yomo Torah. You have a few extra minutes, so you should get up and learn Torah. And at the time that you can't learn Torah for whatever reason, yasim atzmo kilim. So when you should make yourself like a mute, because for some reason when you can't learn Torah. But obviously, if you have the ability and the opportunity and the time to learn Torah, then that's what you should do. But when you can't learn Torah for whatever reason, you should make yourself like a mute who's not even able to open his mouth. Of Salvechik says, this is told over in the Rav Thinking Aloud, there's a number of different Sfarim compiled by Rabbi David Holzer with transcripts of the Rav Shirim verbatim. So the Rav told over a vignette about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, Gaon Olam. So Rav Chaim Brisker attended the first Agudah conference in Katowice in Europe. Okay. And it was a political organization. And subsequently, there was an article in Mishpacha some months ago about Brisk and the Soloveitchik dynasty. And this story was told over in Mishpacha also. I knew it, of course, before from reading it in the Rav Thinking Out Loud. So Rav Chaim Brisker attended the conference, and he didn't say anything. It was a political conference, and he didn't say anything. So they asked, why didn't he say anything? So there's a mashal. There's a store owner who had a small grocery store. Him and his wife worked in the store, and someone came in and to buy potatoes. So he asked the proprietor, how much are the potatoes? So the proprietor says, 10 kopecks. Okay. How much are the beets? 10 kopecks. How much are the carrots? 10 kopecks. How much are the parsnips? I don't know if they had those in Europe. 10 kopecks. So finally, the customer goes to the wife, and he says, everything I ask your husband, he tells me 10 kopecks. How could everything in your store be the same price? So she says, you don't understand, my husband only knows how to say one thing. He only knows how to say 10 kopecks. So whatever you ask him, he says 10 kopecks. So too said Rav Chaim Brisker, I only know how to say Divrei Torah. There was no Torah at the convention. It was all politics, so I had nothing to say. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if you can learn, if you have spare time, of course you should learn Torah. When the Gemara says, to keep your mouth shut, it doesn't mean when it comes to Divrei Torah. It means about Dvarim Batalim, when you're holding up the world. However, if you have time, Many shoulder in Torah. Vilazahaya al shulei hamil saviv pa'amon zahavriman. And that's why on the hem and the meal all around there was a golden bell and a pomegranate, pa'amon zahav, hu davar hamashmiya kol. The golden bell is something from which sound is heard, like we saw in the Gemara in Erechim. Yavo davar shabakol, v'yechaper al ma'isei kol. Let something with voice come and be mechaper for ma'isei voice. So the pa'amon zahav is a davar hamashmiya kol. I did a very bad job of translating that sentence. I translated the Lashon HaKodesh into Lashon HaKodesh. The golden bell is a matter that emits sound. Romeis alimud haTorah. So what kind of sound does it mean that there's a golden bell? And it's beautiful because it tells you here, the Chafetz Chaim is saying that the Pamon Zahav represents Divrei Torah. So you see, your Torah speech should always be golden. Interesting that the Aron Kodesh that represents Torah, all that you saw was Zahav as well. So Zahav represents the highest idea, the most beautiful material, so that represents Torah. And that's what the Pamonei Zahav are. The Harimon, She'etzaha Pamon, but the Rimon, the pomegranate that was next to the bell, Ramaz alashtika represents sides. B'shasha einu lo me Torah. Anytime you're not learning Torah, just be quiet. It's better to be quiet. Ve'i misnaheg ba'ofen zeh, hivticha lanu ha-Torah. And what's the concluding pasuk of the Me'il? If you recall, I'm going to record it for you. The concluding pasuk of the Me'il, now that the Chofetz Chaim went through all the Me'il and all the Pesukim. Listen again to the Pesukim. They should be much more meaningful to you now. Perachav Ches Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vasisa es ha-me'il ha-eifod kalil techeles. That's Chav Ches Lamed Aleph. You should make the me'il of the eifod entirely turquoise wool. He spoke about that. Vahaya pi rosho bisocho. Safa yelafiv saviv mase oreg. Kifi tachra yelo lo yikare. He spoke about that whole pasuk. Vasisa al shulav rimone techeles vargaman visolah shani al shulav saviv. He just expounded upon that whole pasuk. And now he's going to tell you what is the final statement about the Me'il. V'hayal Aaron l'sharis. It'll be upon Aaron when he comes to serve. V'nishma kolo b'vo el ha-kodesh. His voice will be heard when he comes to holiness. L'fnei Hashem, before God, u'betzeisho, when he departs, v'lo yamus. We already spoke about v'lo yamus. That's where Rashi tells us that a coin is mechuser begadim is chayv misa bidei shamayim. We already proposed that perhaps why Rashi tells us that davka by the me'il is because it atones for the sin of lashon hara, and the me'il comes to teach you mavis v'chayim biyad halashon. So what about the final statement of the me'il? V'haya al aron l'sharis v'nishma kol b'vo el ha-kodesh. His voice will be heard when he comes to kodesh. So the Chafetz Chaim concludes by saying, "V'im misnaheg ba'ofen zeh." And if you take my advice as a Chafetz Chaim, and you behave in the way that I have just explained, the whole Me'il means, "Hivtichu lanu Torah," the Torah promised us, "V'nishma kolo b'vol ha-kodesh." Your voice will be heard when you come to holiness. Hainu sheyiskabel lema'ala kol tfilas v'soraso. Ultimately, up above, meaning before the Kisei HaKavod, instead of Lashon Hara going up to the Kisei HaKavod Chas V'Shalom, your tefillah and your Torah will be accepted in the highest height. So it's a very powerful and impactful piece of the Chafetz Chaim. I now want to quote from a Sefer, it's right here. It's Feldheim Sefer called Short and Sweet on the Parsha. Okay? Short and Sweet on the Parsha, Feldheim, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman. Okay? The Al-Sheikh speaks about the hem of the Me'il. The bell represents a talkative person and his mouth as it is open and constantly making noise. The clapper inside the bell is similar to the tongue. So even the shape of the bell itself is the mouth and the clapper, sorry, not so nice, but you got the point, do it in your own mouth. The clapper represents the tongue, which is wags to and fro. The round pomegranate has no opening. It represents a silent, closed mouth. For each moment of silence, the ratio of silence to speech is 2-1. This is how a person should be. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah 18a, if a word is worth one sela, then silence is worth two. Now, this is very interesting. He relates a very quick word on Leil HaSeder, to the order of the Seder, but relates so beautifully to the Shir. The order of the Seder is Karpas, Yachatz, and then Magid. So Karpas is we dip a piece of vegetable in salty water. Yachatz is we break the middle matzah, and then Magid we tell. The Tolner Rebbe gives a Hasidish vart on karpas yachatz magid. The Tolner Rebbe says the karpas stands for klal rishon pesusom. Karpas, klal rishon pesusom. The first thing you have to know is close your mouth. And knowing that, you can continue with yachatz and magid, which literally means cut your talking in half. Klal rishon pesusom. The first thing you have to know is close your mouth. And then yachatz magid, which means yachatz magid. Yachatz is cut in half. Magid, your speech. So of course, when it comes to the El Seder, call marbel sapar reizim meshubach. But only like the Chavetz Chaim says, if you have something golden to say, if you have nothing golden to say, then it's better to remember the rimonim, which were cited. Okay, last thing I wanted to tell you was from, one second, I believe, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, not I believe. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, and this is on Twersky on Chumash. Twersky on Chumash, yeah, Twersky on Chumash. Okay. The sin of Lashon Hara, he's also talking about the Mi'yah, and he quotes the Midrash that each of the garments atones for a different sin. So we saw it in the Gemara. Okay, it's also in Zvachim 88b, but here it was in Arachin 16a that we are learning. The sin of Lashon Hara, carrying tails or insulting a person, are extremely grave, says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal. So he brings us a different lesson, ending on a very positive note. There are other types of speech that require our attention, which we have been learning extensively in this year as well, especially to withhold from making even justified comments out of consideration for others. At one time, my grandfather, the Rebbe of Babov, moved to Chibin, where the great Torah scholar, Rabbi Dov Weinfeld, was the local rabbi. The two were once at a wedding celebration, the Baba Verabba, Rabbi Dr. Twersky's grandfather, and Rabbi Dov Weidenfeld of Chibin. They were at a wedding celebration. A discussion arose whether providing the drinks for the wedding feast is the obligation of the bride or the groom family. My grandfather commented, the opinion of the Tosfos is that it's the groom's family responsibility. The rabbi of Chibin, whose Talmudic erudition was encyclopedic, said, there is no such Tosfos, to which my grandfather did not respond. Months later, the rabbi of Chibin was lecturing on a portion of the Talmud when he exclaimed, the rabbi of Babov was right. Tosfos indeed says that. He then said to his student, can you appreciate the greatness of the Rebbe of Babov? He knew which Tosfos he was referring to, and he could have told me that I was wrong. Yet he preferred to allow himself to be thought in error than to risk embarrassing me. How difficult it is, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to keep silent. And this relates to the part of the Chofetz Chaim, Tola Eretz Ablima, Amisha Bolim Piv Bishas Meriva, says the Gemara. That's why he says it's woven work by the mouth of the Mi'il. We should weave our mouths shut. How difficult it is to keep silent. When you can easily say, your comment is anything but new, I pointed that out a long time ago, or I knew that already. Of course, everybody knows that already, or I heard that Dvar Torah. It takes great character strength to restrain oneself in consideration of another person's feelings. I'll just tell you and very quickly, Rabbi Chaim Marcus is rabbi in Springfield, New Jersey. Very beloved rabbi in Springfield, New Jersey. So he is the nephew of my show rabbi growing up, Rabbi Rafael Marcus, Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Rafael Marcus from Toronto, Zichron Levracha, was a son-in-law of Aaron Salvechik, that's all. And Rabbi Shmuel Marcus from Queens and Lander College, Rabbi Rafael Marcus was his father. So Rabbi Rafael Marcus was a tremendous anav, amongst other things. And Rabbi Chaim Marcus, his nephew, told me this story. When we visited Springfield pre-COVID by my brother-in-law and sister-in-law for Shabbos, so I introduced myself to Rabbi Chaim Marcus, I knew his uncle and his first cousins, I grew up with them, etc. So he told me about his uncle that he was visiting Toronto one time, and he brought his uncle a new sefer from Eretz, so he was so excited to bring his uncle, I think he said it was Rav Pinkas, Sharon Betfila, I think. And he was so excited, and he presented his uncle made such a big deal, and he was so happy, and thank you so much. And later on, he saw underneath in his uncle's shtender that he already had the sefer, and it had a lot of notes and notations, and uncles knew the sefer. And Rabbi Rafael Marcus had already learned through the sefer. But he made his nephew feel so good, and he didn't say, oh, I have it already, that's old news. He was mechazik him, and he kept his mouth shut in a positive way of encouraging someone similar, my Yisod Rabbi Marcus and my brother, Rabbi Dov Free, told me that when Rabbi Shmuel Marcus was a little boy, someone came over to Rabbi Marcus afternoon in Shalom Mincha time, and he told them this beautiful Dvar Torah. And Rabbi Marcus was so excited, and he was mechazik, and he thanked him. He said, "What a unique Torah chiddush." And when we was growing up, he was Shmuley Marcus. I was friends with his sister Pesha, so when he was little, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus was so excited. He thought to himself, "Wow, my father just told that Dvar Torah at lunch. Of course, he's going to tell the person. He knows it already." He started to say something. Rabbi Marcus, quietly quieted him, and he didn't say a word. So this insight, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, there are different ways of closing our mouth. And here we end with a final insert from Rabbi Dr. Tversky, the importance of being mechabit somebody else, and not to be high like the mitznefes, the turban, the mikba'as, but to be humble in order to give kavod to somebody else. So it's a beautiful and important piece of the Chofetz Chaim. We never learned it before. Again, I just came across it the other week. My thanks to my son Shmuel. My thanks to all of you for joining. And my thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should just have a tefillah for myself and all of us. If you're interested, the Ribbono Shel Olam should help us with tremendous siyata d'shmaya, not only be able to learn, but to apply this learning in a very concrete way to our everyday lives. This learning is a schos aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel v'chana lavasham and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya. May both neshamas have aliyos. I thank you so much for joining, and I wish us all siyata d'shmaya on this tremendous avoda. Kol tov, thank you. Shavua tov to all. Thank you. Oh, there was a comment. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.